Inside the Cross Podcast.
What'll it be? What'll it be? This is D. Franklin repping the BK in the NYC, and we are almost in mid-season form here on the MCLA Inside the Cross Podcast. Huge show tonight. Two great guests, coaches of very pristine MCLA Division I programs who will be going up against each other this weekend. If my girlfriend and mom don't stop it on the group text, I think I'm just going to explode. But we are joined right now by Panchito Ojeda, the head coach, or excuse me, Panchito Ojeda, the head coach of the Sonoma State Seawolves, fourth year at the program, taking over as head coach this year. Ponch, congratulations on a great season so far, buddy, and welcome to the program.
Thanks, man. Things are great, and thanks for having me on the podcast. We're really excited to represent Sonoma on Inside the Cross.
Fantastic. And Ponch, as I mentioned, you have a big weekend ahead of you, playing two of the best programs in the SLC, Southwestern Lacrosse Conference, Southern Division. You have Arizona State tomorrow night, and then Arizona, the Lax Cats under new leadership, Derek Pedrick later on in the weekend. What is your main focus from a scouting perspective coming into these games?
Yeah, I mean, anytime you travel to the Southwestern Lacrosse Conference, you're going to face some of the toughest competition in the league. And obviously, ASU and Arizona both are having great seasons. And, you know, we really just focused on us. You know, it's a great trip for our program and our team. We're really young, and it's just been great for us to be together as a family. Our stop in San Diego was incredible. We have such a great base of alumni and parents there. And just a really good chance to go spend some quality time together, whether it's in an 11-hour bus ride or, you know, at somebody's house. But it was just that's kind of what we're focusing on. And then, you know, there's a little cross side of it that's going to be, you know, it's two hard games. I mean, there's no way around it, right? ASU's ranked number one, and Arizona, I think, is number 14 or so in the latest poll. So it's going to be a really hard week, but we're excited about it.
And coach, your current record is only has one blemish, and that was your early season loss to another Southwestern Lacrosse Conference team in UCSB. What is your biggest takeaway from that loss? And, you know, obviously your team has very much grown and improved since then.
Yeah, I mean, UCSB, you're gonna get a really well coached team, and Coach Allen had his boys really well prepared. I think our biggest takeaway was just how we played. You know, our team never gave up, played with a lot of heart and a lot of energy, and you know, we wanted to build on that and focus on that because it was a one goal game. You know, came down to the final 3 minutes. You know, it could have gone either way, and you know, we came on the wrong end of that one. But I think our team walked away hungry and with good energy and feeling really good about our chances to kind of go forward this season. And so that was our biggest takeaway, and it's really propelled us forward. I think it showed in our games, particularly against Chapman and Oregon State, just the team energy that we had was the right energy.
And obviously, as I mentioned before, Coach Ojeda, you've been a longtime assistant at Sonoma State and transitioned into the head coaching role, taking over for a very respected guy. Kind of parallel stories between you and Coach Pedrick. Coach Doug Carl is still on the MCLA executive board. What would you say has been the biggest challenge transitioning from your role to assistant coach to head coach, if any?
I mean, first and foremost, you know, it's anytime you kind of take over for a coach who's been with the program for a long time, you have to kind of recognize that they certainly were a big impact to our program. Coach Carl is in our Hall of Fame for a reason. You know, he's been a big part of this program and done a lot to help build it forward. And, you know, I just coming on board as the assistant coach with him was great for me and a good learning experience. And then I got to take over this year, and that transition has been, you know, fairly easy, I think, in the most part, because I was able to hire three alumni to be assistant coaches, and they have really taken the torch and helped carry this thing forward. And we've had great success because of the efforts that they put in, and you know, their impact on the team and just the work ethic that they have. And it's been an amazing growth, but certainly a big thanks to Coach Carl for all that he's done for this program and how he's built it and allowed it to kind of be where it is.
And taking over in the assistant coaching role, what do you think, you know, has been the one thing that probably surprised you most about the title change and kind of seeing this team from a different perspective as the man in charge?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously, you know, when you can't focus on just one aspect of the ball. You know, I did the offensive coordinator, and now I kind of have to oversee the offense, but also, you know, oversee the whole team. It changed the dynamic a little bit because you obviously have to do more than one thing. But it's been great. Again, like I said, these assistants have just been phenomenal in their efforts, and they make it easy for me, you know, to be able to kind of be in charge. They keep me up to date. They are on top of everything, and they work their butts off to make sure that we're successful. And, you know, they bleed Sonoma blue. And so I think the transition hasn't been as difficult as I expected, but certainly I think it's been having to hand off some things has been a little bit, you know, something to learn, right? To allow other people to grow and continue to blossom as coaches and players.
And Coach, your story is an interesting one. You're a Midwestern guy. You played and coached at Marquette. You know, you were working, you know, I think, you know, as far as I know, married fairly young and, you know, we're located, in the Midwest with your life. How did you, with your wife, excuse me, how did you, come to, arrive, at Sonoma State, 5 years ago?
It's a great question and a fun story. You know, I started on the East Coast. That's where I grew up in Virginia. I went to Marquette for academic reasons, and that worked out great for me and got into coaching there. And my wife was getting her PhD, and we were looking to move after having experienced the winters for 10 years. It was something we wanted to kind of get out and see some other part of the country. And I emailed Coach Carl just asking him to see if he could recommend me to join the current coach at the time, was Dominic Gomez. And he kind of let me know that Coach Gomez was going to be moving back to San Diego, and he was taking over. And, you know, kind of things went from there. And it was a great opportunity. And I'll be forever thankful to Coach Carl for the opportunity to come here and be a part of this program. And certainly it's been amazing because, you know, Sonoma's a special place. There's no place like it. And as I tell the recruits, you know, it's a second place to go behind Marquette, because can't put it in front of my alma mater, but it's right there. It's an incredible place to be.
For sure. And, you know, as I mentioned, you know, you're a pretty young guy. You got married pretty much right out of school. You know, you had ties to working with the American Cancer Society. And, you know, what is the biggest thing that you preach to your student athletes off the field?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, we talk about that with our boys all the time, like, you know, why do we coach? And winning's a really important thing. Like, we always want to win games, but ultimately, like, as coaches, we're not successful if we only win games. We're successful if our boys learn life lessons. And so we talk to them about doing the right thing and making the right decisions. And, you know, it's just really, I don't know if you've read any of Tony Dungy's stuff, but he always talks about being uncommon and doing the right thing. And that's kind of what we preach is just, you know, do the right thing, be the uncommon man, you know, always take the higher road when things aren't right, you know, just be kind to others, love others, and play with love in your heart. And if you do that, then at the end of the day, you're going to be proud of what you've done and proud of who you are. And if you win, great. If you lose, it's okay. You'll still be proud of who you are. And that's ultimately what we want. And then these guys can go out into life and teach that to other kids and bring it to their workplace and make this world a slightly better place. And that's, you know, what we're here for. And I think along the way, we're going to win some ball games, because if you do all that stuff, you're going to work hard and you're going to play for your brothers, and it's going to be an amazing opportunity for you. So that's kind of how we approach it. And it's been great for our boys. They really buy into it, and they work so hard, and you know, they really do the right thing for each other, and it's great.
And Panchito, bringing things back onto the fields, you got back to the tournament after a very short period of dormancy away from the Big Ten's via an at-large bid. You lost to Stanford in the WCLL tournament. That being said, how important is it for your program to not only, you know, make it down south to Orange County, but to do that via a WCLL Mickey Miles Felton Trophy opposed to an at-large bid?
I mean, our focus at the beginning of every year is to win our league, and that's where we start, and that's where we go all season long. And it's out of conference games are great for the at-large discussion, and certainly that's in the back of our mind. But the WCL is what we want to take care of every single year. And you know, last year was incredibly tough. You know, losing to Stanford was brutal for our boys, but I think a great learning experience. And you know, hats off to Coach Virk and Coach Dev Bala, what they've done with that program. You know, it's been amazing to see such a small roster do so well. And you know, we certainly remember that game and are hungry to get back there and compete for that title again. And it's going to be a tough road. I mean, the WCL is always difficult. So, you know, that's our primary focus. The at-large is something that's like a nice to have, but we don't want to rely on that because with only 16 spots and 10 AQs, I mean, you do the math, right? There's just not a lot of wiggle room there. So it's a lot easier if you can just win your league and take care of business that way. But and it's not a given, and particularly in WCL, it's certainly going to be a tough road to hoe with Cal Poly, Cal. You know, Santa Clara's having a better year. You know, Chico's certainly looks like they're going to be up. So it's going to be a tough road, but we're excited for it, and we're up to the challenge, we hope.
Yeah, buddy, I do that math pretty much every late April, and yeah, it drives me nuts. And, Punch, you did come back to the tournament last year, and you know, arrived in style. You were rocking a pretty flashy mustache. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Had the nice head wraps with the wine grapes on it. What's the biggest takeaway from the tournament last year? You progressed in your first round game, and then obviously, you know, had a tough draw against Colorado State. You know, what'd you learn from that experience, and you know, how do you hope to build off that in this year's tournament a little bit closer to home?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've just learned about you know, what it takes to kind of win two games in a row on back-to-back days in terms of conditioning and depth. And you know, we've really focused on conditioning a lot this year to make sure that we can be in shape when the time comes. Cause I mean, Colorado State is just, I mean, they were a dominant team last year, but they were just in amazing shape. I mean, that team was 30 kids deep, 40 kids deep, and they never missed a beat, and they had just great legs on them the whole time. And we could tell kind of towards the end of the game when we were trying to make that push that we just didn't have it in us on the offensive end of the field to kind of get there. And so we really took that kind of as an area for us to really focus in on. And I think the boys, you know, as much as they don't like running, I'm not sure any player does, they kind of see the necessary evil of it, and you know, they bust their butt for it. And so we, you know, we really focus in on that. And then, I mean, obviously just the experience that they got. I mean, it's our first time back for most of the guys in our program. That was their first time at the national tournament. You know, it was my first time as a coach. You know, so it was a really good experience for all of us to be there, kind of get a feel of what it's like to coach in that, to play in that. And Colorado State was a good team to learn that lesson from. You know, they're very talented, well coached, and so we, you know, we're hungry now, and we just want to get back there. But we know that that's going to take a lot of work and a long road, and you know, we're ready to do that work. So it was a great learning experience for us, I think.
And, you know, one of the things that was kind of a bit of a blemish on your resume last year, and, you know, a win for a program that really kind of propelled them to a new level and a Cinderella story through their PNCLL Conference Championship, was Oregon State. You recently beat them 13-8. Did that game this year really have an extra red circle on the calendar and what was thought out by many to be a redemption win for your program?
You know, I don't think so. We really focus on each team being kind of its own team because, every year a team's different. So, we graduated, four of our top five scorers last year, our goalie and a couple other big role players for us, a defensive midfielder, and then another guy on offense who was a really important swing guy for us and did some really, really big things. This year we're so much younger and it's just different. I don't think that our team really thought too much about that in terms of that being something that we need to do. We wanted to win that game because it was a big game for us. And Oregon State's a top 25 team. They last year, it was a blemish, I suppose. But that team last year was pretty good, and they got some other big wins. Obviously, beating Oregon in the finals to go to the tournament, and the team this year is pretty good. I think it's been unfortunate for them that Ben Dill's been hurt. Just coming back, they played Frazier, obviously a close game, which leads me to believe they're going to be back in the contention for the PNCL again this year. And I think we were just focused on winning that game. I don't know. The coach Stelling's done a great job up there, so I don't know that I had an extra red circle, but I think a lot of the media and stuff we're talking about is a big deal, and I can see why. But I think they kind of proved that they're just a good team last year, and it wasn't such the loss that it kind of seemed to be at the time.
Absolutely. And, taking things back to the personnel, you mentioned, Ben Dill being hurt there. Their goalie, Nick Widmer, is also not back this year, being academically ineligible. But, as you mentioned, your roster is young and really, needed some rejuvenation in the scoring scoring category, having graduated some of the bigger guns from 2013. What makes Brad Bokessa, only a sophomore, such a special young scorer?
Yeah, Brad is, we call him Bo. Bo is an incredibly young man. He's very quiet. Doesn't talk a lot, but he's incredible because he understands team offense. He understands that it's not all about one person, that the team is bigger than the individual. And if you look at his stats, one of his biggest stats and the thing I think he's most proud of, and we as a coaching staff are most proud of him, is his assist numbers. He gets it that it's about winning games, it's about playing team ball, and so he certainly looks to dish it when it's there. And he's got a wicked shot, so teams have to kind of honor that, and he kind of takes what's given to them, and he leads by example. So, it's kind of the whole package. He's incredible. I'd put him up there with some of the best guys in the country right now in terms of his play and his attitude and just his work ethic. There's not someone who works a lot harder than him.
24 assists on the year. For Bo, pretty impressive. That for sure, an unselfish player, not so common amongst an underclassman. But a more experienced player on your roster, a guy that got inside the cross All-American honors last year, was your Paul Blake Olson. Kind of a Swiss Army knife kind of guy, a bit of a scoring threat with the 6-foot stick, and a guy that was known to take faceoffs at times last year as well. Hasn't taken a draw yet. How has his role changed outside of the faceoff game, and what constituted that decision?
Yeah, I think Blake obviously is a good faceoff guy, and we just haven't had the need to do that. Nick Scaramella has been incredible at the faceoff X. And, as long as Nick's healthy and able to play, we're gonna run him into the ground because he's one of the best in the country. I'm actually really looking forward to seeing him and Zach face off tomorrow night. Zach Handy. Those two guys went against each other in high school as well, and kind of a good little SoCal rivalry. But, Blake's a great defender. And it's hard to take a guy that good and make him try to go do something else. And so we've just said, hey, let's focus you on defense, be the dominant defender you are, and have our defense have kind of locked down season. And those guys have done that. It's been incredible to watch them Those three guys down there, Blake's a senior of that group, but they played incredible and they played really well in front of the goalie Alex Lindor and kind of made that transition from Dylan last year to Alex, something that was kind of easy because they just, they forced a difficult shot and it's great to see. And I think it's going to be a great challenge tomorrow night and Friday when we face two really potent offenses.
Fantastic. And Coach Ojeda, just to wrap it up, I know that you've been, as I mentioned before, a man to be fancy with the facial hair. I mean, listen, I participated in Mustache Madness a couple years ago. It's no secret. It's right on my Twitter profile picture. Alex Linders, that profile picture is absolutely ridiculous. That is a crazy handlebar. I mean, that goes beyond old school. I mean, does he still have that? That lip caterpillar on his face. I mean that. I mean, you must have had some sort of role in, advising him to do that.
Yeah, no, I think Alex kind of made that decision on his own, and he does definitely rock the stash, and it is incredible. There's not a lot of guys that can rock it quite like him, and it's great. Alex really, he's a goalie through and through, and it shows in the little things like that, and
Yeah, a little different.
it's. Yeah, it's a good building team building thing though. I think the whole team is rocking stashes on this spring break trip, and I think Alex had probably had a big role in kind of, promoting that.
Outstanding. Coach Ojeda, a long-time listener and a first-time participator in the Inside Lacrosse MCLA podcast. Absolutely, a great interview session. Again, congrats on a great season so far. Best of luck along the way, and thank you so much for your time this evening.
Yeah, man, thanks for having me on, and good luck rest of season for you as well. Hopefully we'll be talking in May.
I don't really need all that. All I have to do is live to the tournament. I mean, I don't really need to really do anything but besides that. But I appreciate it. I for sure. Hopefully, look forward to shaking your hand in SoCal. A shorter trip for you, a longer trip for me. But will absolutely be great events. And again, excited to see how your team performs there this year. I know that in your eyes, as a skeptical coach, it's still a knock on wood kind of thing. But fantastic performance so far, and wouldn't expect anything less the rest of the way.
Thanks, man. Take care.
And the Inside Lacrosse podcast continues with the head coach of the Arizona Laxcats, Derek Pedrick. Pedrick is a first-year head coach in Tucson, taking over the Mickey Miles Felton regime. Derek, thank you so much for your time this evening.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks for having me.
So, Derek, right off the top, obviously you're taking over for a guy whose roots are deeply implanted in the Arizona Laxcats program. Taking over for a guy like Mickey Miles Felton, what's his legacy in your locker room, and in what ways will the culture that he brought to Arizona lacrosse be embedded with everything that you do as the head coach going forward?
Yeah, well, Coach Felton has obviously done a great job over the past 30 years with the growth of the game, especially on the West Coast in Arizona and certainly with the Laxcats. Just having a high tradition that we're going to try to live up to, and to make him and everyone proud, and that's what we're looking to do. So he's got a lot of respect around here, and we're just looking forward to making everyone proud.
Absolutely. And taking a look back on your season, on your first game as head coach this spring, right before the Pac-12 shootout, you actually had a game down at the University of San Diego and lost 6-8. How were you able to rebound from that to the incredible 6 wins or 7 wins that you've produced since, with only one loss since that opening blemish? And what do you really take away from that game in order to really progress going forward?
Yeah, that was a tough game, tough one to lose. Give credit to USD and Coach Warner, but it was a good wake up call for our guys. As much as it initially hurt and you know, is a league game that, you know, you never want to lose a league game. But I think it might have been the best thing for us, a good wake-up call, as you can't take anybody lightly. Not that we were taking USD lightly, but just any given day, anybody can win. And, you know, if you don't execute and you don't come to play, you know, most likely you're not going to come out on those type of games. So I was happy with how we responded. Coming back the next day, beating Washington State, and then coming back Sunday and beating a top-ranked Oregon State team. And we played well, you know, we played well, and it showed our guys and our team what we're capable of when we're running hard and taking care of the ball and playing great team defense.
And obviously the grit shows coming off of your most recent trip to Utah. You took it all the way to the wire in overtime against Westminster. You know, you've been involved in a lot of great games in your career as both a coach and a player. You know, how does this one stack up to other overtime games that you've been involved in?
It's right up there with all of them. You know, great character win that our team showed. Down 8-3 at one point. And just being able to come back and fight and continue to work and not give up is something that, you know, I know myself and our coaching staff is very proud of. And it showed the guys, you know, that you're never out of a game, and no matter how good or how good an opponent you're playing, if you get in a hole, you got to keep battling. And fortunately, we were able to come back, scored 6 straight goals to tie it and then take the lead, and going into overtime, we won the faceoff and ultimately scored a very quick fast break goal, and we're able to pull out the victory. Give credit to Westminster; they're a very good team. Coach Mason and Coach Brad do a great job, and they're definitely a team to not take lightly. And They're going to win a lot of games, and we're fortunate to get out of there with a victory.
Absolutely. Westminster, a very strong team, competed at the top ranks for Division II as long as they were a part of the MCLA, won a championship in 2008, made it to the championship game last year, and is now rumored to be making a jump to NCAA Division II at some point soon. And, you know, coming off this trip to from Utah, Coach Pedrick, you come away 2-1 with a very close, hard-fought game with BYU, but two more tough games ahead on your schedule this very week. You know, a very tough blue-collar Canadian team from Simon Fraser, and obviously we spoke to Coach Panchito Ojeda earlier. You know, what do you think is the main focus for you and your team in these next two games coming up?
Well, we have to stay mentally focused. It's been a long road trip. We got up today at 3:30 in the morning and gave the guys today off. You know, watched a little film in some small groups, but we'll have a light walkthrough tomorrow, and you know, really scout Simon Fraser. They're a very well coached team and have a lot of talent. Have some very good players that we need to focus on, but they have some good depth this year, which is concerning for us. So we got to prepare very well tomorrow for them. We'll have a chance to go up and scout Sonoma State versus ASU tomorrow night. And then we'll focus on a very solid Sonoma State team that is always one of the top teams in the MCLA. Coach Panchito's doing a good job with that program, and they have some very, very talented players, very good offense, very good defense, a good goalie. So it's going to be a very good test for our guys. I know our guys are looking forward to it, and you know, hopefully, you know, we just need to stay mentally focused and prepare and play the right way, and we'll see what happens. So we're looking forward to it.
And coach, obviously, you know, the state of collegiate lacrosse is obviously in a pretty good place as far as the state of Arizona is concerned. You know, obviously your primary rival, Arizona State, is currently the top ranked team in the country. And, you know, Grand Canyon has been doing incredible things since they transitioned from NCAA Division II to MCLA D2. And continues to be a factor in MCLA D1 in their second year. You know, you're a pretty experienced guy that has a great pedigree in the top levels of NCAA in Division II and Division III as a player, most recently coming off of an assistant coaching job at Notre Dame Demure. Your brother played, you know, at the University of Massachusetts. When you take a look at the state of, you know, the three programs that are in the state of Arizona and the way that it equates to some of, you know, the bigger brands and, you know, the BCS schools that are in the MCLA, you know, how do you see, you know, your group of three fitting in with, you know, the other great programs there in the MCLA, and how important is the growth and the health of the MCLA segment in regards to collegiate lacrosse, you know, no matter which way you're looking at it?
Yeah, it's very exciting for Arizona. The growth of the game at the high school level has grown, and I think you've seen a direct impact with the three colleges in Arizona. Arizona State always a top team, being number one in the country right now, having a great year, and Coach Malone does a great job there, and Coach Rapkin at GCU has done a great job continuing to get recruits and you know, to get some top players to build that program into a top MCLA program as well. So we're looking forward to do the same thing. I think, you know, you can't build Rome in a day, but you know, we're looking forward to building. Building a team over the next year or two, where, you know, we're going to be right up there, and, you know, we're excited about this year's team as well. Have a lot of talent, and, you know, if we play well, it's going to be fun to watch these games with the in-state rivals.
And taking a look at some of the depth of the talent on your roster, you know, something that Mickey Miles Felton was always very passionate about, from when I first started talking to him about his recent teams, all the way until the end through last summer. You know, he said that Sam Bradley was easily one of the best long stick middies, if not the best LSM in the country, and, you know, probably the one of the most talented that he's ever seen play. You know, what is your assessment of that statement, and, you know, how has what's been the most crucial part of Sam's game being a factor for you this year?
Well, Sam's a great athlete. You know, being a very fast, athletic kid with a good motor certainly helps. And he's worked hard over the past few years to get his stick up to where it needs to be. And when he's running hard and when he's playing great position defense, he's very hard to stop to get by. You know, he was a very good high school football player, and a lot of that translates over. So I agree with Coach Felton. He's one of the better athletes I've coached at all levels in Division I, Division II, Division III.
And on the offensive side of the ball, you know, you have two very experienced attackers in Willie Standback and Zach Johnson. You know, Will's having a really outstanding year with 25 goals and 31 points to his credit already. You know, what makes their dynamic special in regards to the way it fits into your offense?
Yeah, well, you know, right off the bat, they know each other's game. They've played a few years together, which helps with their chemistry. And you know, they're both being unselfish. They're getting everyone involved, which is good, and they're starting to finish their shots on the offensive end. And you know, I think both of them have potential to dominate a game at any time. But you know, I think they realize that getting everyone involved is very important, and they're both doing a good job with that. So we're happy with that, and looking forward to seeing how they progress over the next few weeks here.
Absolutely. And coach, you know, I happen to know that you have a real cast of characters there on your roster. You've taken a few road trips already, obviously a big one in Utah. To end things on a light note, what is the funniest story from being with the Lax Cats this year?
Yeah, we've had a lot of funny stories. Definitely when you have a group of 51 guys with 17 states represented on that roster, you get a lot of different characters, and we have a lot of good kids. I'd say the funniest story was we had a chance to go up to the Olympic Park in Salt Lake or Park City, Utah, on our day off, and had a chance to have a nice team snowball fight, and had a chance to do some sleigh riding, and it was fun. So got a lot of fun. Fun guys on the team, and the kids, they definitely enjoyed their time being together. A lot of good team bonding.
Absolutely. And Coach Pedrick, we really thank you for your time here tonight on the Inside Lacrosse MCLA podcast. Obviously, a lot of exciting things to look forward to in Tucson with yourself at the helm.
Thanks, Dave. Really appreciate it.
And that will wrap things up on this edition of the Inside Lacrosse MCLA podcast. We want to again thank our guest, Panchito Ojeda, the head coach at Sonoma State University, and once again, Coach Derek Pedrick of the University of Arizona and the Lax Cats. Obviously, a lot of great things to look forward to in the column. Recaps from last week, previews from this week, poll analysis, Franklin's 15 minutes of fame. Again, for our guests at Sonoma State and the University of Arizona, for our executive producer, Terry Foy, this is David Franklin, your MCLA Inside Lacrosse Insider, signing off.
Inside Lacrosse Podcast.